Today's scripture reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted this morning. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in prayer? Lord, we're grateful for your word, but we're even more thankful and humbled by you working in our lives. Help us as we hear, as we read, as we receive, to know that these words speak of your grace and your powerful love that is changing us into your people. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, I won't always have the sermon illustration that I do this morning, but I'm going to take advantage of it. Beware of those who wear long robes.
And that includes the choir also.
I don't need music, Eva. Watch yourself. Brother in Christ, my first Sunday to wear my robe. The air conditioning goes out. Yeah, absolutely. You know, her name was Melissa. And she would stand outside of the church. And it was one of those beautiful stone structures back east with gorgeous stained glass windows. And added a wonderful pipe organ and an organist who could play it, just like we have phenomenal musicians in our church. It makes a difference. And she would stand outside of that church and listen to the music. And you know why she stood outside of that church and listened to the music? Because she didn't feel good enough to step inside. My friends, at times in history, churches have done great damage. Brothers and sisters, at times in history, those who would claim the name of Christ have caused great hurt. For us, today, once again, we are invited to claim righteousness in its full power, to claim righteousness as a way of living, to claim righteousness truly as our voice in a world that is broken and hurting. For all of those Melissas that are standing outside of the church, wanting to come in, wanting to participate in the life of the community of grace and hope and love, we are called to say, welcome. Come on in. The scripture passage today is one in where Jesus is, as he was his entire life, heading to the cross. And in fact, in this particular scripture, he confronts once again the power authorities of the day. He specifically names those who would like to be seated, in the prime position in the temple. Now, I know it has never happened here when someone was sitting in your seat and you got a little bit upset about that. I know it has never happened here, but bear with me, okay? This can happen in some churches, believe it or not. These scribes, these individuals, wanted to be seated in the seat of Moses, which was considered the teaching seat, the answer seat, the place that you look to for direction and guidance. And they certainly had long, elaborate robes on. Now, you have to understand, this is a day and age when people maybe had one garment, and it was what they had all the time. And it was worn not as an accessory, but as a necessity and a protection from the elements. And the scribes and those who were religious authorities and in power positions loved to get the most elaborate kinds of garb to show how much they had. Jesus is saying, watch those who make a show of righteousness on the exterior, but on the interior are empty or dark or void. He was very clear about this. And he was very bold, and he was very strong. Because of all people that he used as an example, he had already stirred up some trouble. We know that. And we know where he was headed for us. We know where he was headed for us, and yet it didn't matter to him. He was willing to still step out in boldness and share the truth. For us, as modern day disciples, as those who continue to seek to follow Christ, we also are called to be bold in our sharing of love. Not simply saying, this is the way I think it should be. Not simply saying, do this or else. Not simply saying, my way or the highway, but rather offering grace, a radical grace and an abundant love that allows us to be able to see God at work in others that maybe we wouldn't have considered before. Or even to consider the possibility, bear with me here, that God is at work in someone that we might not necessarily even like or agree with. Wow! This is a radical and awesome God. God would be at work in someone that maybe I don't even like? Okay, being stretched here, being pulled, but it's good. It's a good thing to have done. Jesus continues then with his discussion of righteousness by giving an actual concrete illustration of righteousness. I'd like to read you this quote, first of all, from Kathleen Norris, author Kathleen Norris in Amazing Grace, where she writes, "The word righteous used to grate on my ears." Okay, she's honest. "For years, I was able to hear it only in its negative mode, as self-righteous, as judgmental. Gradually, as I became more acquainted with the word in its biblical context, I found that it does not mean self-righteous at all, but righteous in the sight of God. And this righteousness is consistently defined by the prophets and in the Psalms and in the Gospel as a willingness to care for the most vulnerable people in the culture. And who starts walking right before Jesus and those who were hearing his teaching at this time? One of the most vulnerable people in the culture, a widow. At that time, a widow had no power, no means of earning a living. And yet here she comes in very common, weathered, worn garments, coming up very simply, very humbly, placing her offering in the treasury. Now, we're not sure if it was one of the side bowls that people, commoners, could put their offering in, or if it was the main treasury. We're not sure about that. It doesn't really matter. For her, it didn't matter either. What she was doing was putting in all that she had. And we have to look at that a bit more carefully. In putting in her two coins, it's not simply a matter of her offering her last amount of money. What she was doing was saying, Lord, I trust you completely. Do you understand that in the scripture? Lord, I trust you completely. The church should never be saying to people, well, give absolutely everything, just hand everything over. But what it should be encouraging people to do is to say to God, I trust you, I trust in you. You are where my trust resides. That, my friends, is a radical statement. Because then we, in our lives, become the offering of those two coins. And what we're saying is, just as that woman, that widow, offered those two coins, we're saying, here is our offering, Lord. Take it, use it as you wish. That's always a little bit nerve-wracking whenever we make that commitment to God. When we recommit our lives to God. And yet what we do when we say that is gain incredible freedom and peace of mind. What we do when we say that is experience a grace that opens up paths for us that we never saw before. And what we do when we say that is experience a love that is sustaining and enduring and does not fade away because of what's going on the outside. We experience a love that only continues to grow because what is going on the inside. For us, we are those two coins. Every Sunday, for us, we are those two coins every day when we recommit our lives and say, Lord, I seek to do just a little bit better. Help me in trying. For us, we are those two coins when we seek to be better people in our families, in our homes, in the community, and in our church. For us, we are those two coins every single day that we wake up and have another day of grace in God's kingdom. Back to Melissa, the woman who is standing on the outside of the church. Guess what? She had a beautiful soprano voice. Never been trained, and yet gorgeous, powerful, poignant. And Melissa not only was able to come into the church and be invited in to that community of grace, but she eventually started singing in the choir. Melissa, 2 years ago, died of a brain tumor. And I had the privilege of talking to her as she was heading closer to being received by God into the arms of His mercy eternally. And we know that's a reality also, my friends, for all of those who have that saving relationship with God because of what He did for us on the cross every time we see it. But Melissa knew that she, in her life, had been those two coins. Because as she was welcomed into that community and then shared abundantly whatever gifts God had blessed her with and was discovering new gifts, specifically working with children, she knew that she had followed God and honored his movement of love in her life. How are we those two coins today? How are we seeking to be actually righteous? In other words, remembering that God sees us as worthwhile and valued as his children. How are we seeking to live to share that, to speak that, to offer that? In this time of discipleship, I'd like us to take just a few moments to ponder that. How we are being those two coins, an offering. In other words, saying to God once again today, or maybe again today, or maybe for the first time today, Lord, all that I am, use me, move in me, guide me. What a wonderful, exciting time this is right now, where we can recommit our lives to God through Jesus Christ. Take a few moments right now to receive God's grace and love as you offer yourself once more to him.